Tuesday, July 9th, 2019, 5:30, Freedom Hall. Call to order the meeting of the Board of Fire Commissioners of the Caduit Fire District. Present is Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Connolly.
Commissioner Zeiss.
Chief Root.
First order of business, is anyone recording? Second order is public comment. I don't think that mic's on.
Cynthia Gardner, 94 Steel Street. When you get to the section of your report apparatus, if the chief or someone could give us a report on the exact date the engine went out of service and the plans of when it will be back in service, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Are you referring to 263?
Next order of business is review of the previous meeting minutes. I've reviewed the minutes from June 11th. They seem accurate to me. If there are any concerns or questions about it?
Nope.
No. Move that we accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Connolly.
Zeiss.
Accepted. Next item is the chief's monthly activities report.
Would you object to going out of order and introducing Tim Shield, the new call firefighter?
That's
so
fine.
He has to sit here for a long meeting.
Okay.
So Tim Shield came today. The newest call firefighter will be as soon as his background check is complete. We voted last month to offer him a position of the call firefighter.
Welcome
aboard.
Just wanted
to come to meet you guys.
Thanks, Tim.
Welcome.
Anytime we're in the building and you're around, feel free to approach if you have any questions or concerns. Thank you.
So you're welcome to stick around the meeting if you want.
There's a game going on today, too.
I would run. Monthly activities. Responses to June. We did a total of 85 responses, 60 medical, 25 good intent service or false alarm calls. About consistent with the month before. Administration, we had a coffee at the fire station, community coffee at the fire station on the 26th, which was fairly well attended. We had representatives from town administration, Barnesville Police, a few members from the community. Went fairly well. No problems. Everybody.
I apologize. I couldn't get there. I was held up in business calls.
Okay.
My tent was there, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I also regret not being able to attend. I was looking forward to it. But do we have a date for a subsequent one?
We don't yet, no. No, not yet. Next under administration is a boat naming contest. So last month, the commissioners picked the name Can Do It for the name of the Caduit Fire Rescue Boat. That was actually submitted, the same name was submitted by two different people, Liz Pappas and Barbara Webb. So those are the two winners of the contest. Chris Dolly is contacting them and looking to coordinate dates where they can go out for a ride in the boat.
Excellent.
Also under administration, we have a new scheduling software, Target Solutions scheduling software. Pete Emerson has been working hard to identify a solution for our scheduling and found this solution, the Hyannis Fire, and I think Dennis and Yarmouth are using it as well. Our current
Target
Solutions is called CrewSense. Or it was called CrewSense. Target Solutions took them over, so it's either under Target Solutions or CrewSense. It's a dedicated scheduling software and lead management software, where our current solution, Firehouse, is poor, to say the best, at scheduling and maintaining lead balances. This will hopefully improve that. At the same time, we're looking at some possible changes with software. Confire, our CAD, our dispatch provider, is moving away from Firehouse, and they're changing their CAD, the computer-aided dispatch system, so that staying with Firehouse would actually cost us additional money to have hooked up to the new system when they go to it. And our current service provider for patient care reports, ImageTrend, has now a new solution for fire reporting, so we're looking at what's the most efficient, least expensive software solution to replace Firehouse. So we'll be looking at that in the coming months.
Didn't we just fire up, so to speak, firehouse?
A year and a half ago? About a year and a half ago, we kind of went all in on firehouse, and it was kind of the only game in town at the time. This new system from Image Trend is a new system that just came out in the last month or two. And at the same time, where our dispatch provider is going away from it, the increased cost of maintaining it, we're looking at it. It's not a definite that we'll go away from it, but it's something we want to look at, and I'll come back to you with a report in the next few months as to what the cost of abandoning firehouse and going to hopefully a better, I won't find an inferior, I'll find a better product that may replace it, or maybe it isn't. We're just starting down this road to figure it out, so we're not 100% there yet. Pete Emerson's been helping us out. Shane Clark's been helping out quite a bit. And Chris Dolly has also been looking into it. We had a meeting the other day to look at what software services we have and where they fit in, where our needs are.
So Image Trend is the computer-aided dispatch?
Image Trend is the patient care reporting. That's the patient care reporting software, but they also do have modules for fire reporting as well and inspections. I'm not sure whether they do mobile solutions in the fire trucks for mapping. That's what we're looking into that. When COM goes away from their current CAD system, the systems we have in the trucks will cease to work as well. So we have to find a solution for that as well.
And that's Firehouse, or is there
Firehouse? Firehouse is solely, we use it for scheduling and inspections and fire reports. That's what the only thing we use it for.
So going with Target Solutions takes away the scheduling component just leaving inspections.
Our open areas right now are fire reports, which Firehouse doesn't do super well. Our vehicle solutions, the mobile product solution for the mapping of the vehicles, we need to find a solution for that. And a training records keeping solution. So we need a way to train to keep our training records organized. So I think Image Trend may fill those needs, and we're waiting to get a real good meeting with them and see what the cost is going to be, what they can do, and how it's different from our current system. So
it was my understanding that Pro EMS included training records.
Yeah, so they've got Pro EMS has a really good EMS training module that we're using for their EMS training, and it's a great records system for the EMS training. It doesn't have fire training components to it. We can put in generic training classes, and that may be the way we end up going. That is one of our options, is to use that platform to manually enter training for fire as well. So that may be one of the solutions. It is one of the solutions we're looking at.
Okay.
So, and that system is very inexpensive, so could be a good solution.
Yeah, what was the, what prompted, was it COM, did you say, was moving away from the dispatch system?
COM has appropriated money this year to acquire a system called Red NMX. It's a system to replace their computer-aided dispatch and their fires records management system. So we'll also be looking at them and see what they can provide, what their cost is. Sticking with Firehouse will be probably present an additional cost if we want to keep that connected to the CAD system, to the data system. So that increased cost and the efficiency of using Firehouse more than likely will outweigh its benefits, is my guess. But we're
right. Sorry for asking maybe dumb questions. So what is the dispatch system now?
It's called Symposium 911.
Symposium 911.
It's out of a company out of Canada. They're going to replace that with a Red NMX.
Okay.
Which is what Hyannis uses as well. So I'll have something with some graphics and pretty pictures to help make this confusing issue less confusing in the next coming months with a proposal on where we're going to go for the rest of the solution. So. Mm-hmm.
Has Hyannis used that software long enough to have to be able to share their experience at the chief's meetings?
They've used Red MX for. I think it's been about a year and a half. It hasn't been a long time. I don't think they've been using it for. So I don't know. I haven't gotten a really good, I haven't gotten a really good demonstration of it. I'm not convinced that it's a solution, but I want to look at it and see. It'd be nice if we're all using the same system, but if it's at an efficient, you know, and a reasonable cost. And I also like to use one system. We're all stuck with ImageTrend for patient care reporting. That's what everybody in the Cape uses. So if I can use that software to fill multiple needs, then I think we're better off using one system rather than multiple ones. But
I would agree.
We'll kind of see where that goes. Mm-hmm. Also with computers this month, we had two computers that died, we replaced. So we have two, one desktop, one laptop that died. Rather than replace them with desktops, we ended up buying two Microsoft Surfaces, and we bought them through ProEMS. So ProEMS provided us two Microsoft Surfaces for our ambulance for free as part of the billing solution for us. They agreed to give us two additional ones we can use for operations at the same price they pay. So for $1,500 per surface, we get the computer, a heavy-duty case, a three-year warranty, dropped, kicked, stolen, lost, they replace them for nothing. And I think the most important thing is they're providing the IT for them for nothing, for no cost. So we get 24-hour IT support on these services at no cost. So
I like no cost.
No cost is good. ProEMS has been a huge partner and a good deal for us. Plus, they're up, 50, 60% in revenues in the billings because of them. So they're costing us less money and making us more money, which is all good.
I suspect having things that are more mobile makes it easier.
Well, that's the idea. So the idea is when the firefighters come to work, there'll be three Microsoft Surface services laying out on the chargers, and they just grab one, and that's your computer for the day. You do your EMS training, you do your fire reports, you do your EMS reports, you get your communications, your emails, you do your EMS training on it, and you can take it where you want to go. There are desktop docking stations around the station. They can plug it into the TV screen and watch it on a large screen with the rest of the crew. And if they break, you put it in a box, mail it back, and they mail you another one. It costs for 3 years. So, and if it works out, more than likely I'll transfer my computer and Chris's computer, and we'll all go to that and eliminate the IT fee we have, which is about $550 a month. So.
So I mean, things like, you know, monitors to not have to look at a little thing,
right,
don't require as much, if you will, IT support.
They require almost none for a monitor, right? Yeah. So we have two desks in the station which have docking stations. Actually, three. So three docking stations. We've got one's in the lieutenant's desk. It's got an external monitor, a keyboard, and a mouse, and then one in the firefighter's report desk. And then the other docking station is going to be plugged into the TV so they can dock it there if they want to.
Can you, email us with what you find about the potential replacement of yours and Chris's? And what did these cost again?
$1,500 a piece, approximately. And it comes with a three-year warranty, rugged case, and the IT support for free. So. Commissioner's got legal under administration, so you want me to
go ahead
up that now? So
yeah.
We've got an open meeting complaint that is on the, has everybody seen it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's on the cloud file. Basically, the complaint's in regards to the Civic Association meeting. The complaint is not valid. It was filed more than 30 days from the date of the incident. Was not filed with the clerk. And it's also complains that there's an open meeting. A meeting never took place. A meeting is a deliberation by a public body with respect to any matter within the body's jurisdiction. There was no deliberation. There was no meeting by definition of the open meeting law. So I can respond to that in the next day or two with your permission to the
complaint
IG, the Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm. We'll follow the process.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know, did I need a motion? Did I transmit that request, that response to the AG's office?
Right, I would also just amend that in their own training information, they present all the same material about the exclusions that don't apply. And for their reference, it's slide 15 on their training materials.
Okay.
That make it clear that there was no need to post ahead of that appearance. But yeah, go ahead and I'll make a motion that we formally respond with the outline you provided.
Second.
In favor, Pisano?
Arnold.
Zeiss.
Okay.
At the same time, and under the same information, I'd like to request that in the future we refer all open meeting law complaints to our legal counsel, Gargiulo and Rudnick, LLP. But I'd also like to request that we refer all public information requests to Gargiulo and Rudnick. They've got paralegals that will work on anything at a lower level and anything that needs an attorney to work on, they will bounce it up to them. But I think given our limited size, limited staff, and the level amount of complaints and requests we get, I think this will make for a more efficient and less legal problems in the future for us. That's my recommendation. Mm-hmm.
So is it possible for me to take that recommendation and make a motion directly from that without repeating that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would like to take that verbiage and make that motion.
Second. Discussion. I do have a question in this regard. Lots of the information requests don't directly involve the fire department. They're related to Prudential or the treasurer's office, water. We're just talking about the ones that are directed to the fire department. Is that right?
Correct. That's the only ones you have jurisdiction over. I will pass on to Prudential and treasurer how we're doing business, and it's up to them how they proceed with their complaints or right. information requests.
The point of my question is just on whose balance sheet do the legal fees get charged if we are acting on just those things that come before the fire department, then we've got a line item in place that would address it.
I have a question about why we would refer just a request for information to them.
I guess the problem is what information is public and what's not can be very complicated sometimes. And we've had requests in the past where we've passed on information that, best guess, would have been public information. But on subsequent running by the attorneys, they claim that, no, you leave off balances when someone used sick time, things like that. It just seems to make sense, especially if a paralegal is going to handle it at a very low rate for simple information requests, that we just run everything by them. And that way we don't accidentally release anything we're not supposed to release. Generates less questions, less problems.
All right, point taken.
Other questions or comments? Move the motion. All those in favor? Pisano?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Pisano?
Conley.
Chase.
Passed.
Training. Lieutenant McNamara has been doing boat training with personnel. He did a bunch with a couple of different personnel on the 5th when he was out doing the fireworks detail. And there'll be more training ongoing in the next month or so. We're still waiting to coordinate a crew operator, a BOSAR class, a boat operator search and rescue class for the Coast Guard in the fall. But we have no dates on that yet. They get busy this time of year and they don't really want to talk about it until the fall. Shane Clark, EMS Officer Clark, will be doing ImageTrend Elite training. So ImageTrend's our patient care reporting software. They're going to a new platform, new and improved, I guess. And he'll be training all our staff in the coming week, I believe, on that.
What do you mean by a new platform?
What do we mean by a new platform? It's a new version of the software.
Oh.
So it's still running on the same computers. It's not a different platform, I guess. That was the wrong word to it. It's a new version of the software, new and improved release. But
things are
slightly different, so he's reviewing them with all the...
Yeah, no, I wasn't pushing back. I was just trying to clarify.
No, I think it's much better. And the elite version for the fire reports is dramatically better than what the older version was. So
more complete?
More complete. We're hoping it better interfaces with the hospital system. We're hoping that not too distant future we can actually share information with them, especially since everybody in the Cape's on the same system, but that hasn't happened, and that's been painful for many years, so we're working in that direction.
Keeping hope alive.
Yeah. Yep, working on it. Pro EMS report was attached. Personnel, we said that one
time. Excuse me, I had just a quick question about the Pro EMS report. What's the normal time lag, do you know, of billing for the ambulance service?
From a bill to a receipt? I honestly don't know. I think it's a couple months, so if we bill for the summer, so say July is a really busy month, June, July, I don't think we start seeing the uptick in receipts for a month or two. So we probably start seeing revenues come up in August when the calls start increasing in May. But I don't know. I can find out what the time frame is.
Well, I'm just curious, having just used the service recently.
Me too. Kingston FD took the ride from exit 9 to the hospital. Got the bill pretty much right away.
Yeah. So Pro EMS has got some kind of a system where they delay bills frequently. So what they do is they somehow monitor your coverage, or the coverage for the patients we take in, and they wait till the patient's coverage has met the deductible. So they could end up waiting several months because they're watching your insurance somehow. I don't know how they do it. That, you know, these other doctors submitted bills to the insurance company and they didn't get the full amount paid because you hadn't met your deductible yet. And they wait and bill subsequently so that they get the full amount reimbursed.
Clever people.
Yeah, really clever. So yeah, maybe that's the reason our revenues are up like 56%. That could be why.
Yeah, it's a real specialty, navigating the healthcare.
It's a specialty. Personnel, we've still got one firefighter out on IOD. I think we've got an approximate return date of October. Either's met call firefighter Tim Shield. We've got two interns, so we did interviews with the high school interns. We traditionally have one Barnesville High School intern. This year there were additional applicants, and they were really good ones, and we didn't want to turn anyone down. We ended up taking two this year, as well as most of the other departments took two. So we've got Bryce Carpenter and Matthew Judge, both kids of firefighters. One's Bryce Carpenter's father's a firefighter at Calm, and Matt Judge's father is out on injury retirement from Calm, also used to be a firefighter in Kituat. So we're looking forward to having them. They're both very excited. They've actually been in the station, worked with Lieutenant McNamara. They've already got orientations. They've got the release form signed. They're planning on doing ride-alongs this summer. They seem very excited, very eager, and we think it's going to be a good thing. I think having two of them, they'll probably push each other to learn and teach each other. So,
terrific.
Looking forward to that.
Nice to see the interest.
Yeah, it is. Apparatus, 263 repair quotes. I sent you the repair quote. So there's only one. We've only been able to get one quote for 263. We've sought quotes from three different companies. Fire One Manufacturer no quoted it. They weren't interested. They're too busy. Minuteman truck out of Walpole evaluated the truck, did an inspection of it, and after numerous calls for quotes, we still have gotten nothing from them. So they've effectively no quoted the truck as well. So we've met the state requirement to seek three quotes. Minuteman, actually, they even if they had quoted it, they subcontracted all their work to M&R Restoration, the one we have the quote for.
So
M&R. Okay. M&R Auto Buddies, their name out of Whitman, Mass. They would have done the job even if we had paid Minuteman to do it for us. It's just we would have paid a markup on it.
True.
And they are the, according to our mechanic and everybody else to talk to, they're the people you want to do the truck. So the price to refurb the frame and the pump panel and the tank supports on 263 is $48,000. $48,198.
Right. Yep.
We have $50,000 appropriated from an article from a couple of years back. This will give us a minimum of 5 years, hopefully a few years more, which I think is a, you know, at ten guaranteed for 5 years, I think is a good investment. A new fire truck is $500,000, so and they go 20 years, so we're looking at a low per year price. Mechanically, the mechanics looked at our truck. Mechanically, it's in great shape, with the exception of the corrosion on the frame and pump panel and the tank supports. We've had some discussion about whether we need two engines. Did some research, so ISO, Insurance Safety Organization, who rates fire departments, they've got us rated at a class 4 now. Low numbers are good, high numbers are bad. It goes from 1 to 9. We are barely a 4. If we drop down an engine, we will definitely slide to a 5, maybe 6 or 7.
What happens to insurance?
So I was always told that as it goes up, insurance, your property insurance goes up. The individual property insurance is a function, one of the functions is how prepared your fire district is. I've touched base with Lisa Mycock, and she called the insurance company, and they said that in actuality, the company she deals with will not increase rates unless you hit a 9. Dropping one fire engine won't reach a 9. It won't happen. As far as I can tell, there'll be no increase in insurance costs to the residents. However, it's a standard. The Insurance Safety Organization says the standard for your community is 2 engines. You should have 2 engines. The NFPA says the same thing. It's the standard. As well as being the standard, there are other other considerations. So fire engines break a lot. They're like boats. They break. And they're expensive and hard to fix. There are very few fire engine mechanics, and it takes them a long time. It's not unusual to have trucks out for months at a time. You blow a pump, they could be out a couple months. The transmission, same thing. We don't have a backup. If we're out of truck, we can't borrow one from a neighboring department. They don't have extras. And if they did, they don't fit. The fire trucks in Calm and Mashpee don't fit in our station. Our trucks are unique. They're small. They fit. Training is another issue. If we go training to one of the fire burn buildings, we have to bring our truck with us. So our firefighters are training on our trucks, on our equipment, and we would leave our town uncovered if we didn't have an engine back at the station. So that's a consideration. Public service needs. They do touch a truck at the Barnesville High School. We couldn't send a truck this year because we don't have an extra one to send. It would leave us uncovered, which wouldn't be feasible. I'm trying to think of the other considerations. I think overall it makes sense. In 10 years, when we're looking to replace this, we've got another bigger conversation. Fire trucks are expensive. You know, a custom fire truck like we have to fit in our station is $500,000. That's a bigger conversation, and how we meet that need, I think, might be a bigger conversation than this. But for $50,000, getting us through, kicking the can down the road another 5 or 10 years, I think it's worth the money.
Mm-hmm. Did they give us any estimate of when they could begin the repair and what the potential duration would be?
They were looking at. I talked to them a month ago, and they're looking at beginning the end of June, and they said it was going to take about a month. So
end of June.
But that was, I didn't have a timetable, right. A new timetable based on today. If I gave them the go-ahead tomorrow, they might not be able to start it for a month, and it could take a month. It could be 2 months out.
Okay.
I will push them to do it as fast as I can, but they sound like they're like the only game in town, unfortunately. There's not many people that do this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would move that we accept their bid and get in line to get the truck brought up to snuff as soon as possible.
Second.
Any other discussion? In favor, Pisano?
Connolly.
Chase.
Done.
Okay.
Chief, thanks for doing the research on that.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate the conversation. It's a valid conversation that we do mostly medical calls, and fires equipment is expensive, so I get it. We've got loaner Scott bottles in place. Our new Scott equipment, Scott bottles and tanks are on order. I don't have an ETA, but it should be fairly quick.
And that'll be the full complement?
No, they're all coming at once. And it's a comms place there at the same time, so we get discounts because we all did it at the same time, and we're all getting the same equipment. So.
When do you expect them in?
I don't have a date. I was supposed to get it in the last couple of days. They haven't forwarded it to me. I don't know, but shortly.
Imminent,
yeah. The next month or two, we should get them in and get them in service. There'll be a little bit of training on them, but they're essentially just a new version of what we had. Our compressors are all tuned up to the higher pressure, so we're ready for them whenever they come. facilities. Roof. So we put the roof out to bid, sealed bid process, and we called big every roofing person anywhere near Cape Cod. Oh, not we. Chris Dolly called every roofing person near Cape Cod and begged them to bid on it. None of the people we had initial estimates were willing to bid on it. Casalt Roofers, one of the ones we had bid on it before, they said they're just too busy, they're not interested. We begged them, they had no interest in bidding on the roof project at all. We got three quotes. We appropriated $55,000 for it. Our lowest quote is $64,912, and that's from Capizzi Home Improvement. The other quotes were $72,590 from FRG Contractors out of Everett, and then Coastal Custom Builders out of Eastham bid $110,500.
They really wanted the work, huh?
Nobody wants small projects. It's complicated doing municipal projects, and most people aren't interested. So it is what it is. Even if Casalt, we had three people give us initial quotes, which is how we came up with the appropriation for $55,000. Casalt was the highest. They were the only one of the three that typically did municipal projects that we got quotes from. After we got the appropriation, they mentioned to us that when we were writing the RFQ up, that they hadn't included the flat roof in their quote, which they wanted another $20,000 for. So if we had known that originally, we would have asked for more money. So bottom line is we're short by about almost $10,000.
Does the roof leak?
No. It doesn't. It did. We had some repair work, patch work done on it, so it's been patched up so it doesn't leak currently. Everybody's looked at it, said it's past its lifespan and needs to get replaced, including the flat roof. They said the same thing about that. We've got $100,000as an article for station renovation, and we can take $10,000 out of that in addition to the $55,000 for the roof and have the money to get it done.
Other than the, you know, I'm not trying to be oppositional. Is there anything having to do with state statutes about fire structures, firehouse structures, about roofs and keeping them up and all that kind of stuff?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
As we go forward with renovation to the station in terms of the new offices that have to be created and the renovation to the kitchen area and flooring and doors. Much as I don't like this bid, it seems kind of foolish to think about.
My thinking was, if there's really going to be a more encompassing kind of thinking around a project and what we might do, maybe when you add those things into it, like the roof, then maybe the bids are, maybe people are more interested in the project.
Actually, gets more money. It's dramatic. If we add it to, the cost overall goes up. It's cheaper for us to do this in pieces and contract it out ourselves than it is to have a company come in. The architects were looking at almost $300,000 to come in and do simple renovations to our station, and that didn't include the roof. We're looking for $100,000 to do all of it, plus the $50,000 for the roof. So we're looking total expenses of $155,000 to do everything, half of what the architects wanted just to do the inside. There are more stringent bidding requirements and purchasing requirements. Once the price of the job goes up, you have to hire project managers and I forget the name of the other people that monitor how the money's spent and how the work's performed. It gets dramatically more expensive. So actually doing it in smaller pieces is much cheaper than doing it the other way. Not what you would think, but that's in public construction, that's the way it is.
Plus most general contractors don't carry their own roofing crew, so they end up subbing it out to somebody and putting their markup on top of it.
Right. So any general contractor would sub every bit of it out and throw a 20 or 50% markup on all the pieces. So,
Chief, were you able to talk to Capizzi?
I haven't got a chance to talk to him. No, I'll go down and bang on the door and see if I can get them to do any better.
So I asked the chief to see if he could follow up with Capizzi. easy to say we have 55,000 appropriated, 50, whatever,
55.
And if there's any way you can help us get to that. So that's without commitment, obviously, until we had the conversation with us tonight.
Right. So I guess what I look to from you is a motion to get the roof done with Capizzi and to do my best to negotiate the price down. But authorize me to go forward and get them on the books and get them going. That's what I'd be asking for.
Do they actually, do roofs?
I believe they do, yeah. They do a little of everything. Yeah. They've got crews.
Capizzi, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I believe they do the full job, start to finish. With a bigger roof, I don't know. There's a chance they might sub out part of it. I don't know. I'm not 100%
That's
sure.
Been their family bread and butter for a long time.
Roofs?
Yeah.
Okay.
We should have a cheaper option, but this is kind of...
So this is or is not going to include the flat part?
It will include the flat roof, yeah. There's no sense doing the rest of the roof when the flat roof had to get replaced too. If we're going to put all this money to the inside of the building, we don't want to get and wreck the roof, leaks in the roof. So there have been leaks. Shingles have started to come off. They replaced a lot of the peak shingles a year back.
This isn't a motion, but if you can somehow let us know whether you were able to get the them to somehow sharpen the pencil, so to speak.
I'll try. I mean, it's worth asking. I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath, but the other ones were so much higher.
Do they go one-third, 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 50-50?
No, I think we pay them all at the end.
I've seen.
I think they have to do the work, and then we have to pay them. I think that's the way they get paid at the end. Mm-hmm. I'm 90% sure. So I should know that.
I'd like to make a motion that we authorize the chief to spend $65,000 to get the roof fixed and to make every effort to bring it down to where it's been appropriated already. But he has the authority to spend the $65,000.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
Nope.
All in favor? Pisano?
Conley?
Reluctantly.
Reluctantly, Zayce? Yeah, I don't think any of us voted with great enthusiasm, but...
No.
Right.
Under other...
There isn't a category, by the way, of reluctant.
Yeah. I get it. I'm on board with you. On other news, we also completed what we, in conjunction with DPW, State Forestry, and AmeriCorps volunteers, I think that was it. And two of our firefighters, actually, Eric and
Staggs.
And Casey Staggs, we opened up the rest of Cordwood Road. You guys finished it, right?
Yes.
So we opened up. It was a two-day process. So one day was a couple months ago, and they went down and opened it up to make it more of a fire road, any kind of fire spreading and access for emergencies. And they just finished the other half on July 1st. So that project is done.
Chief, what does that mean they opened it up?
The road was a passable road when I was a kid. We used to drive down it, and over the they gated it off, and the brush has grown in to the point where you could barely fit a pickup truck down there. Problem is that there's a large amount of trees and vegetation. An Eagle Pond Conservation and a southwest wind would blow that fire right into all the developments, the Katua Bay Shores developments and all the other developments off Old Post Road. So we wanted to open it, widen it, so that it would be easier to get fire equipment down there if there was a fire, to stop the fire or light a backfire, and harder for the fire to jump the road. If there's no road, it's got to jump. So they widened it up. I think it took about 5 or 6 feet on either side of the road. So the road was probably 6 feet wide, and now it's probably 16 feet wide.
Yeah, it's wide enough that the brush right here is completely down the road.
We guess send a structural fire truck down there now, I think.
Cool. So they went in with equipment and cleaned it out?
Yeah, DPW brought their chipper and two of their staff, I think, both days. We sent down our breaker, uses a work platform and chainsaws, and AmeriCorps brought chainsaws and so did the forestry department.
Oh,
State Forest Warden was down there with us, too. So it was kind of a joint effort.
Great.
We provided food and food, lunch and drinks for all the crew. Both days they did it, and they did a great job. So nice project they've done.
Very good. Thank you.
I think that's all you got.
That's it. That's it.
All right.
Have there been any pushback from abutters or anything?
No. No. The AmeriCorps, who's the land group that organizes Eagle Pond? Eagle Pond, it's
Barnstable Land
Trust. Barnstable Land Trust. They posted notices on all the gates and access, and nobody complained. I would think they'd be very happy. I mean, we just made their properties significantly safer, so at no cost to them. So
the things that people complain about.
Yeah, I know. I know. No, I haven't heard anything.
Never seems to surprise me.
I've heard everything negative, which you're right, surprises me.
All right. We have two items that are going to be addressed in executive session. I'm going to make a motion that the committee goes into executive session, and we will not be returning to open session. The executive session is to discuss the reputation, character, physical condition, or mental health rather than professional competence of an individual, or to discuss the discipline or dismissal of or complaints or charges brought against a public officer, employee, staff member, or individual. The individual to be discussed in such executive session shall be notified in writing by the public body at least 48 hours prior to the proposed executive session, provided, however, that notification may be waived upon written agreement of the parties. We are also going to be addressing a matter to conduct strategy sessions in preparation for negotiations with non-union personnel, or to conduct collective bargaining sessions or contract negotiations with non-union personnel. Collective bargaining sessions include not only the bargaining sessions, but also include grievance hearings that are required by a collective bargaining agreement.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Connolly.
Zace.
We're now in executive session.